a reminder, we got some calendars for the next year. They're right at the back, so pick one up on your way out. Thank you, Don. Well, we want to extend a blessed new year to all, and it's coming soon, and so may the Lord God be your exclusive portion throughout this coming year. We're going to open in prayer and commit ourselves to the Lord. Our God and our Holy Father, we come to thee in fervent prayer. Our desire is to live in the Holy of Holies, right next to the mercy seat. We pray thee, Father, that we might enjoy the fullness of God, even now, as we commit ourselves into your good hand. Lead us on in the way everlasting, we pray thee. Touch us deeply in the Spirit, we ask, in the worthy and beautiful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I sense it in my spirit, and perhaps in my bones even, perhaps you feel it too, that 2025 is going to be an explosive and pivotal year on the world stage. I'm sure you feel that already, the things that are going on. And once Trump takes the stage, there's going to be fireworks somewhere. But to anxiously look at these things, we realize also that the people of God await the re-entry into our world of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back for us. He left 2,000 years ago physically, but he's coming back. So we wait in hope. His coming draws nigh, and we rejoice in this. So we can't see the future. None of us do. You know, years ago, I remember they used to have these crystal balls, and they used to kind of cheat the people into think, well, you know, you can really find out so much of what's going on today. Just look at these things, these Ouija boards and whatever. But we can't know the future. We only can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who does. So we press on in sweet expectation to the consummation of all things. So we acknowledge that our citizenship is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, perhaps failure and regret has stalked and dogged us this year. I'm sure some are feeling the pinch of the things that have happened this year, but this need not trap us into hopeless despair. We realize there's one on the throne. The Bible says, I will arise and go to my Father. When these things are impinging upon your life, don't just sit there. I will arise and go to my Father. There's always a solution with him. Now, Jesus Christ will come for us on golden wings. He's going to come and beckon us onto new heights of communion with himself. This is all I want in life. I want a full communion with God. You can entice me with all the gold that they have on this planet. You can have it. I want the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be in communion and fellowship with him. So God's intentions for us, his beloved people, is to reorientate us to eternal things in glory, our eternal home. So 2024 will soon be past. It'll be gone forever. But another forever awaits for us over the horizon of God's directive will, and I look forward to that. I know I'm going to be there. When he calls me, I'm gone. There's nothing on this earth that can keep me. I've placed all in heaven, and that's where I'm going. And that's where you can go if you trust in the Lord Jesus. So may this new year deepen your life in God with a fierce determination to obtain all that God has for us through His Son, our benefactor, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want all that God has for me. I want to apprehend that which He has apprehended me for. Why did He save me? For a reason. I want to reach that reason, and I want to dwell in it for the rest of my life. So, what I propose to do this morning is to bring before you how all this can be achieved. Jesus says, I will not leave you alone. I won't leave you as an orphan. You know what an orphan is, eh? The Lord Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone as an orphan. I will come to you. But all sin and defilement must be put away to God's satisfaction. The pure in heart only see God. So, purity is the open sesame to God's treasury vault of blessings. If you want to walk with God during this coming year, you have to live a pure life. You got to put away sin from you and say goodbye. It's gone. And you know that the Lord Jesus has swallowed up your sin. He consumed it upon Himself on the cross. And now He can give us His righteousness, which He has promised. So, we must venture into the scriptures of truth to find a pattern set for us on Mount Calvary. From there cometh my help. The world system has been proved to be false to its core. It's a defective system. You can't trust in the world. It's a polluted world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's not kid himself by shaking hands and being friends with the world. You can't walk with God if you're walking with the world that's polluted. The world system has proved itself to be false to the core. So we must turn to Psalm 65. Let us go to the middle of the Bible. Psalm 65. We're going to read this beautiful psalm. Notice what it says here. Psalm 65. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, praise waited for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. And he did that at the cross. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Isn't that a beautiful line? Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. That takes in the full day. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Now, guess what my text is going to be? Look at verse 11 again. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. So we rejoice that our God is crowning this present year, 2024. He caps it off with his blessing. He's crowning the year with it. And the path of 2025 shall drop fatness. That doesn't mean we're going to get fat. If we drink all that chocolate, or if, eat all that chocolate. And I think, I thought the other day, during this Christmas time, I wonder how many pounds we put on. If we took all of North America, let's say, I would think it would be several, I think it'll be more, about 100,000 tons. You can even drink chocolate, There's nothing wrong with chocolate, just have a little bit. Anyway. So it'll drop fatness. Well, when we meet his conditions and abide by them, this thing will happen to us. The things of the Lord don't just happen to us. You got to pull them into you. Now, how will God do this, you say? I want to turn to Psalm 23. Now, this psalm, I'm sure everybody has memorized at one point or another. I'm just going to read the first three verses. How is God going to do this for us? How are we going to enjoy the fatness of the pastures of God? Notice what it says, Psalm 23, the Lord. Who else? The Lord. Nothing else. No one else. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And those paths are paths of fatness. But how do we get there? Now, I'm going to try to explain this to you. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, paths that drop fatness or fullness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. That's the proper order. How are we going to be led by the Lord? I believe we have to get our souls restored. Once our souls are restored, we're put on the pathway. And it's clear where we're going, because he has a plan for our lives and he wants us to fall in line with it. As my soul is restored to the primacy of his will, I shall know his leading throughout life that's forthcoming. As I maintain a walk on the king's highway, there's a highway, there's a narrow road that leads to life. And once we get on that road, once our souls are restored, then things open up to us. We become enamored with God, and he's all in all to us. Christ is all and in all. And this is what I want. I want all that he has. He wants all of me. He can have it. I've given it to him. Yes. He can't lead a mule like Saul, who stubbornly refuses his guidance. When I was in Italy years ago, my grandfather had a mule. And he used to take him out to the pasture there. I don't know what he brought him there for, to work. That mule would not go. I saw my grandfather pick up a switch. He was giving it to that mule. Finally, the mule, he buckled down and he went. But I'm just saying, sometimes we're like that. He can't lead a mule like Saul, who stubbornly refuses his guidance and flatly resists his advancement towards us. When God restores my soul, the pathway is secure. He knows the way that I take, yes, and I shall come forth as gold. He knows the way that I take, and when I take that way, my life becomes gold. I become his child, really? But you say, what do you mean by soul? It seems so nebulous, soul. What are you talking about? Well, simply put, the soul is the life principle in man. It is his very self, comprising the faculties of will or heart, as some put it, mind and emotion. The will, the mind, and the emotion comprises the soul. There might be other faculties in there too. Do you remember in the book of Genesis chapter 2, it says, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we become a living soul when we do things God's way, and he puts us on the pathway to life. But he has to restore the soul, or else the pathway is a mirage. It's vaporized. It's not there. It becomes an illusion. Unless our souls are restored, our pathway in 2025 is murky, unnavigable, lacking sound direction. He restores my soul, and then he can lead me on. The one follows the other naturally. We have a tendency to be like the mule. God wants us to go this way. We automatically go the other way. We have a natural bias within us. Now, I know my own life. It's been quite a few years now. He hasn't dealt very kindly. But he's dealt severely with me because I'm stiff-necked. He has to do something with me to mold me to his image, to his will. Sometimes he's had to put me through the furnace, through the crucible, to melt off the rubbish that's in my life. But now that I look back, I thank him for it. It has to be done. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And many of us are walking dead. We've never been dealt with by God. We're living our own life, our own selfish way. God our Father offers each one of his children a roadmap to abundant life. His uncreated life made over to me, to you and to me. He anchors me to himself. Wow. Who can take me out of God's hand? Now you think of that. Who can take you out of God's hand? Once he cups you in his hands, I remember when I was young, I tried to catch butterflies. It's almost impossible. You ever see those white little butterflies? You ever try to catch those things? And even when they're down, they fly away. But once you get it, you can feel it in there. It's moving. It wants to get out. And then I feel sorry for it. I let it go. But once God cups your life into himself, you've got life there. You've got reality. It starts to move in you. Yes. We are made and remade to dwell with God here and forever with him in heaven, our eternal home, prepared for every believing Christian. Now, God can't guide a soul that is in rebellion to him. If we move in his direction, he can steer. Have you ever tried to steer a parked car? It just doesn't work. You can't do it. Once we start to move into God's direction, we're able to steer, and he helps us to steer. But we have to move. We have to go. We have to move in God's direction. But let us strictly remember that we are to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now, this is where it really touches us. Abstain. Get rid of the thing. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. A withered soul shall surely perish. As our soul is quickened with God's life, we are transported to new heights. This, you know, when I think about this, I really want this. I want to mount up into God. I want to be an eagle. I want to perch myself on the very throne of God. And he wants us to perch ourselves into the very life of God, new heights with God. But he has to restore the soul before we can move in that direction. New heights of blessedness. Indeed, in order to do this, guess what? We have a vigilant shepherd and bishop of our souls. We can't do this alone, you know. Without the bishop and shepherd of our souls, it's not going to work. This shepherd goes before us with the machete of grace to clear out the debris that entangles our feet and impedes our journey heavenward. Sin. This isn't your social insurance number. Sin must be put away for optimum success, and it has been put away. Now we must abide in the sinless one, like the branch and the vine, eh? If the branch doesn't abide in the vine, it just withers. It's like our soul. If we don't abide in Christ, it withers. And you can feel it. You're like a prune. There's no life there. There's nothing. Sin must be put away. So even if you fall, you're probably thinking, well, you know, I've made a real mess of it. I've been a real donkey this year. I've really made a mess of things. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Don't despair. We all have. We're all donkeys. We've all fallen. So listen to God's word in Proverbs 24 and 16. It says, for a just man or a woman, that's generic, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. You and I have failed. Well, I know I have. Boy, some of the boo-boos I've made. I can't believe it that I actually do these things, but I know I'm forgiven. When I get on my knees before God, oh, God, why did I do that? He forgives me. He restores me. He gives me a brand new slate. He says, get up, get up, and call upon the shepherd and bishop of your soul. The psalmist says, there is forgiveness with thee. I like that. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mightest be feared. So the road of 2025 will be long and rugged. You can be sure of that. If you're a professing Christian, a real Christian today, the devil's going to be after you. But it's okay. He can't touch you. I'm in Christ. I've enveloped in him. Let him come. Let him come and do what he wants. It's going to be a rugged road, a long road, no doubt. There are many snares and pitfalls, but our shepherd goes before us to lead us on in the way everlasting. By restoring our inner soul to newness of life, this means not adopting our own faulty ways, doing things our own way. There is a way, the Bible says, which seems to be right. It seems to be right. It's okay. But the end thereof are the ways of death. So God shows us himself strong. He shows himself strong in the midst of calamity, and his power is available for every emergency. We are the people of his love. God loves us with an infinite, penetrating love. It's none of this Hollywoodish garbage that you see today. He gives you the perfect love of God. He comes into your life and restores your soul and leads you in the way everlasting. So let us anchor ourselves deep within his heart, not holding back. As our lives are lived fully, only in the atmosphere of God, in the midst of God's arranging. Imagine, God has a plan and is arranging my life. Why would I want to go my own bull-headed way, like that mule, just like Balaam's donkey there? Why would I want to be like that when God offers me the very treasury of heaven? We shall flourish as the palm tree. We walk with sure footing to Emmanuel's land. We look not at the things with our seen, but with the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what I want to do in the remaining time we have is to lift your sights heavenward above the smog, the stale, the stifling air of this polluted world, and bring you to God's throne room, where competent administrative duties are enacted perfectly, where God presides, where the heavens rule. I want to be in the midst of that rule, where safety abounds and peace reigns. There is our appointed place. Now, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, this is where God wants us to live. He wants us to mount up with wings as eagles. He wants us to soar into the will of God and live there for the rest of your life. Notice Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in earthly places. No, in heavenly places in Christ. That's our domain. That's where he wants us to live. And then In verse 20, it says, Ephesians 1 and 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And that's where we are. That spiritual rock that follows us will be with us for time and through eternity. So his throne is established in righteousness, never to be toppled by any challenger. And where he is, he will convey us there. And we can have this bountifulness today. We don't have to wait until we're ushered to heaven. We can enjoy the fullness of God right here upon the earth. And now Ephesians 2 and 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is a place for us. It's in heaven, seated with the Lord Jesus Christ on his throne as a co-regent with him. Now, I put that in small letters. Now, don't get me wrong when I say that. Now, Ephesians 3 and 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. We're heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a bountifulness this is. This anchors the soul and brightens the pathway home. All blessings are always in heavenly places. But there must be rectitude of life, a restored soul. Then the leading comes on its heels. And this is where a lot of people need to be taught aright. There's a lot of bad teaching today. You can only walk and live with God as he allows you to deal with your life. Like the potter in the clay, he has to put his hands upon you and mold you. Sometimes he gets his fingers into you. That's where you start ouching, ouch. But he has to do it to bring definition into your life. Rectitude of life, a restored soul, and then a clear pathway. Yes. Remember, now is the accepted time. Some of you are saying, well, you know, maybe when I get a little bit older, maybe I'll think about all of this. Do it now. Don't even wait for next year. Do it now. Don't be so foolish. Do it now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. 2024 is gone. We've known the goodness of God. And thy paths drop fatness for the new year to come. So 2025 can very well be the acceptable year of the Lord. Yes. What a glorious promise to feed the palate of our souls. This is abundance, dear friend. Jesus' promises will come eventually true for us. The Lord Jesus calls us his people to the heights. The heights up in the mountain, there's a rarefied air in the mountain. I've never done any mountain climbing, and I don't think I'll ever do it. You know, they say that even Mount Everest, you know, there's been since, what was his name there? He got up there with, Well, anyway, there's been many that have gone up there, but about 300-400 have died on its slopes. But just getting up into the high altitude, where all the smog just fritters away, and you ingest that sweetness of God, that rarefied air. This is what he wants to give us. The heights in heavenly places with him. As we have read in Psalm 65 earlier, you might have forgotten, but from verses 6 to 13, they're like the book of Job. When you read Job and you get into the later chapters, God manifests his power and his majesty. Where wert thou? I repent in dust and ashes. God reveals his power and majesty, his sovereign bearing on all things. May we come in adoring worship to sit with him on his throne of glory. May we all bask in God's abundant love and grace. For we have been called to this, not to grovel in bypath meadows. If you have read The Pilgrim's Progress, poor pilgrim, poor Christian, he started off okay, but he had a little detour there, a little detour then. He never had a GPS. Even if he had it, he probably would have made, you know, also with this AI business. You know why they call it artificial intelligence? Because it's artificial. You know, why don't they change the name? I don't want artificial intelligence. I want this. I want it to be foolproof. Bypath Meadows is not for me. I'm on the King's Highway. I'm going to the celestial city. You want to come along? We can hold hands together and hold converse. Maybe one of us will have to give up our life like Faithful did. You never know. We live in such a world. Somebody's going to take a pot shot at us. So, seek someone to lead you by the hand. You know, when you get on Pathway Meadows, you're just meandering. You're looking for somebody like a blind person to lead you by the hand. Well, I want to tell you something. There is one that can lead you by the hand. His name is the Lord Jesus, and he won't let you down. Who constantly leads his own through sometimes the Valley of Baca. You know what the Valley of Baca is? It's the Valley of Weeping. I'm sure there's been a lot of weepers in this assembly. The Valley of Baca or Baca. But he brings you out of it. But we must trust, even though we're often weary with striving. You ever get weary with struggling? It's too hard. We cry remorsefully sometimes, Lord, I'm weary of all of this. Help! Help! Help me, please, Lord. And he does come to our help. If your heart is sincere, you get low before the Lord. He'll come upon you like a brooding hen. And he'll take you under his wings. You can feel the warmth of his presence. I go to prepare a place for you. Our brother Sid there was mentioning that from John 6:14. Leaning on our beloved is the only way forward, beloved ones. Coming up out of the wilderness, out of the Valley of Baca, out of the wilderness of sin, into the orchard of his grace where his fruits are delightful. He gives us himself. It was the patriarch Jacob who said, and we can also say confidently, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. This is how we preserve our life unto eternal life. When we focus on God, everything else, it's like a horse with those blinders. Our lives are like this. Bring them in. Focus on Christ. Never mind about all this nonsense around you. Focus on Christ. My life is preserved. God loves the soul that is made, that he made, and he seeks to lead it. He led them forth by the right way. That's what the Bible says. He led them forth by the right way as he restores our souls. I'm on the right way. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. Now, I'm going to call upon Elaine here because we're going to sing a hymn together. And then I want to read a biblical doxology. Turn to number 308. Remember, he bringeth them to their desired haven. You need to have that desire for God. Number 308. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet solidly on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let us stand and sing number 308. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, or plant my feet on higher ground. Let me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, the higher plane that I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart is no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale upward height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, lead my faith on higher ground. Amen. Thank you, Elaine, and be seated. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May this year be a banner year for you. No regrets. Place yourself in God's hands. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for these simple truths. Father, we know them in our heads, but they need to sink deep within the inward parts. Restore the soul, we pray thee. Put us on the pathway that leads to your arms. We pray for your rich blessing upon these dear people. We commit them to your good hand, giving thanks with praise and worship. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.